Coming to you from the mountains and the plain, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Otto.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Otto and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
This is Joe Otto.
And today we're going to do a recap. We're going
to
talk
Max
a little bit
hates it
about
when I do that. I mess up the intro and he gets all mad at me.
Yeah.
He gets that
look
on his, rolls his eyes.
That's fine. Joe. It's fine. No one's doubting your mental capacities. Everyone's doubting Biden's mental capacities.
Different Joe, different Joe, different day,
Yeah. No one was thinking about that until you brought it up. So today we're going to be talking about last night's town halls. I don't know if you watched either of them. It was a tale of dueling town halls, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I want to show the difference in viewership before we even get off the bat. Let's go ahead and put up image two. This is what it looked like immediately after, as it was going on. Donald Trump on the left on NBC News, 190,000 people watching now, and poor Joe Biden had 20,670 people watching during their town hall. So dueling town halls, Donald Trump won in terms of viewership. And it was interesting, the kids on TikTok were trying to skew the numbers by promising to all watch Joe Biden on different devices. So that number probably isn't even true because there's a bunch of kids watching on multiple devices. So he might have even been in single digits in just five figures, right? Four figures in the low thousands. So it was very interesting that it was too dangerous for them to debate in person, but it was fine for them to debate separately. What do you think, Joe?
I think it's all BS. I think the whole thing is garbage. I think we're dealing with a bunch of clowns. That's what I think.
Well, let's go ahead and put up my screen, Mr. Producer, because this was the other news that broke yesterday. C-SPAN suspended Steve Scully. Now, Steve Scully was supposed to be the moderator of last night's town hall debate, which didn't happen. Steve Scully had tweeted out to Scaramucci, asking Scaramucci whether he thinks he should respond to Donald Trump, all the attacks that Donald Trump was delivering against Scully for being a friend of Biden, a former intern of Joe Biden's. It was very obvious that he meant to send that as a direct message, but accidentally tweeted it. Steve Scully claimed that he was hacked. The FBI actually got involved to investigate the hack, which is why he's now potentially facing criminal charges. And then it turns out that no, he wasn't hacked. He's just a never Trumper, as we thought all along. So it's going to be very interesting to see if the FBI goes after him, because he actually told them that he was hacked and they started investigating it. It'd be interesting to see whether he gets charged with lying to the FBI the way so many Trump associates have been.
Well, I think he should. I think just downhill. Just let it roll downhill. Let's literally just put them all in jail, right? Lock them up. And I think the fear is that President Trump is literally resetting everything. He is resetting expectations. He is setting up our country to give back, I think, control to the people in the community. And I think that scares this just wacky left that we have to deal with. It's crazy. It's crazy. And by the way, Twitter CEO actually got a subpoena and said, "Oh, I'm going to change the rules." Facebook is yet to actually respond.
They haven't gotten the subpoena yet. They're voting on the subpoena on Tuesday, which is something that we've actually been pushing for them to up that timetable. Subpoena hasn't been issued. They've gotten strongly worded letters, but the subpoenas are set to be issued Tuesday with the target of them testifying next Friday unless they decide to push it back.
I think if we start prosecuting them for weaponizing technology, I think we actually start prosecuting and fining them billions of dollars. It'll hit the investors. It'll hit the company. It'll actually force people, which, by the way, they don't even have any idea this is happening, but people are at a very big level leaving Facebook, yeah, leaving Twitter. Now, they're leaving it up until we actually get to the masses, but there are a ton of people that are going to places like Parler, Gab, which, by the way, the shooter that the mosh shooter used Gab, right? And so that's why that they deplatformed him off of the off of Apple's App Store, and then conspired with the Android app system to actually take them off as well. So I think that what you're finding is that people are just tired, right? So they're leaving those up. And so Facebook actually thinks that they're actually still in control. They're not in control because people are starting to wake up and say, look, we just don't want it. We don't want anything to do with you, right? Take your, and it's not so much the censorship that they're more concerned about. It's the leftist ideology indoctrination and the fact that that's the only thing that people are seeing, and they're letting them influence their kids. So I have friends that literally told their kids, you cannot have a Facebook account. You cannot have a Twitter account. You can have a Parler account. Tell all your friends to get on Parler. They can have a conversation over there, but they're not going to have a conversation on Facebook or Twitter. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
It's interesting stuff. So we're going to get into the whole town hall. So on Facebook, make sure you give us a thumbs up, like it. Make sure you hit the share button. Make sure you comment. On YouTube, make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and then the bell for notifications. Leave some comments too. We see you there, Richard. Good afternoon. Hey, on YouTube, watching on YouTube. I guess he's still banned.
Hey, tell him he's still banned on what? On Facebook?
I think, Richard, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think you're banned on Facebook, and that's why you're over on YouTube, right? You can go ahead and comment. I think that's what I remember. He's over there watching on YouTube because he can't get on Facebook.
Hey, just so you know, I got I got sent to the principal's office on Twitter on Wednesday because I was talking about ID masks. We haven't done it yet, but we have a bunch of Antifa journalists that work in Colorado in different organizations, news organizations, everything else. Obviously, you know what happened to Lee. I know we're talking about the town hall, but we talked about Lee.
Yeah, I don't want to squirrel too much, but yeah.
But what I'm talking about is that Twitter basically said, we're cutting you off, and said that it was hate speech.
You're not allowed to dox people.
I didn't dox her. I didn't dox her at all. Oh. Her? I didn't dox her. I put her name up there, and then I put it associated with a video on Chris, that this is the person standing next to Chris Jacks. Right, the guy at One Revolution or Our Revolution that said he wanted to kill, innocent Americans that didn't agree with him. This is the whole thing of Project Veritas, right? But the other part of that is that we're going through Our Revolution, right, Weld County, and guess who are members of Our Revolution, Colorado? Governor Polis, and the head of the DNC, and the guy, Chris Jacks, he is a Antifa member, he is a Our Revolution member, and he sits on massive committees in the DNC in Colorado. So this is the leftist, and he admitted that they've taken over the DNC in Colorado. So I got in trouble because I pointed out that she is actually associated with, as a journalist, for these organizations down in Colorado Springs, with a guy that wants to murder Americans, wants to murder innocent Americans that don't agree with him. So anyway, that just tells you what's happening on the social media side and just how just screwed up people are.
So as long as we're going to get out of the way all the off-topic things, I want to play a clip that we didn't have time to play yesterday. This is a hot mic capture of Dianne Feinstein at Amy Coney Barrett's hearing. Let's go ahead and play cut one.
She's been pro-life for a long time. So I suspected her in this deepest way, personally, and it comes with a religion and
So anyone who couldn't hear that was Dianne Feinstein saying that she's been pro-life for some time, and I suspect that it's deeply personal and comes from her religion. So when she thought the cameras were off, Dianne Feinstein, who we'll point out, she's Jewish. Doesn't really matter. Usually you don't get Christians complaining that someone else is too Christian. Just going to point it out there. Saying that Amy Coney Barrett, she's pro-life, and she suspects that it comes from her religion. That's the same person who said previously that Amy Coney Barrett's unfit to serve on the appeals court because the Catholic dogma lives proudly within her, strongly within her. So I wanted to play that clip. So before we get started and talking about the debates, I want to make sure everyone knows that the mainstream media was pissed off that Donald Trump ran a competing town hall against Joe Biden. They launched a pressure campaign yesterday to try and force NBC News to cancel on the president. So before we get into this, I want to make sure we understand that there were mainstream media outlets, talking heads, hosts, politicos out there saying that NBC should have canceled on the president. Here's a quick clip from Don Lemon on CNN. Let's play cut two.
I got to tell you, though, the story of the day, you know what everyone is talking about? everyone I know, they are outraged about what's happening tomorrow night.
The dueling town halls.
Yes. Why on earth would NBC agree to do that?
All right, I'll plus minus it. Equal time.
Oh, you can do equal time on a different night. You can do equal time at a different time. You don't have to do it at the same time and then divide the country further by having them choose. The whole point of it was to bring them together.
It's the only time he offered us. He said he wouldn't do it any other time.
Well, so he's controlling the programming schedule at NBC?
Something's better than nothing.
So then they learned nothing from 2016? They're allowing a man who made all the wrong decisions by showing up at a debate, not getting a COVID test, and then becoming a super spreader, and then refusing to do the debate.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're allowing him, they're rewarding him with prime time on a major network, on cable, and on their Spanish-speaking network. Someone who made all the wrong decisions and someone who backed out of a debate. How does that help the American people? How does that inform the electorate by putting those two people on at the same time and making people choose from one to the other? And don't give me that BS about, well, you can take one. That's not what it's about. This is an outright embarrassing ratings ploy on behalf of NBC. And I am shocked and surprised that they would allow the president of the United States to do their programming and manipulate them into doing them.
All right, let's cut it. So he's pissed. He said, how does it help the American people that they get to hear from President Trump directly? Well, it would make him do it another night. As they knew, no one would watch Sleepy Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how petty and childish they are on the left. I mean, among other things, I mean, they're pedophiles, rapists, and closet racists, and they literally want to tear apart the fabric of America, take away opportunity, and make everyone the same and be poor. But besides wanting all of that, they also are a bunch of little petty children, right? Feel like they just want to, you know, oh, this is not fair. Why are we doing this? We're going to show the world that only like 100th of a percent of people in the U.S. Yeah. even care that Biden is even there. And everyone is just really, really excited about what Donald Trump's doing. Max, I don't know if you actually know this, but there's a thing that happens, and you'll notice that the Antifa members and the BLM members that are terrorizing communities, when they get arrested, they're typically not from that community, right?
A lot of times, yeah.
So there's a article that was written, and I'll try to find it, but it was written on Zero Hedge, I think. The article was written over the fact that the optics is that we have a large presence. There's a large group of people that actually agree with them. And the truth is it's just all the same people that are traveling around. Have optically, there's only 1,000 people or 2,000 people, and that's why it's only happening in certain cities. So they'll send a group of people up to Portland. They'll send us a group to Denver. Then Denver will go down and it'll go back up. And, I haven't been able to get the data yet because I don't think it's available. I'm going to try to get it. And that is flight records of people that actually fly in and fly out. So we'll see if we can come up with it. But I think that the optics of what the media is doing is that they're creating something that's not there. And it's starting to manifest in what we're seeing on the news with the town halls. It always has. But that's why, by the way, Twitter and Facebook are weaponizing media and doing the things that they're doing, because they don't want people to see the truth. Right. This is a group of just evil minions that are in our country. I think most people are actually good, except for leftists. But that's
So one of my favorite parts of these town halls is after the fact, looking at who each network chose to put on and how they chose to represent them. We saw earlier that MSNBC had put on someone they claimed was unaffiliated, but had previously been at an NBC town hall with Joe Biden, admitting they're Democrats supporting Biden. Lots of funny stuff with that. I want to talk about this, though. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is incredible. Fox News ran with this, that one of Biden's ABC town hall questioners included a former Obama speechwriter and a wife of the former Pennsylvania Democratic candidate. Incredible. I mean, these aren't just regular people. These are party insiders that they were having pose as regular people. And it's obvious by the softballs that they got. the softball questions that they got. Someone in the comment section, I saw it a second ago, it made me chuckle, that you can't throw fastballs at someone with special needs. Joe Biden needs the softballs because right. he just isn't there. He can't do it. It's not saying that he's a special needs child or anything. He just has special needs. He's not all there. He can't go in the fast pitch batting cage. He needs to have the T-ball. And we saw that from Joe Biden's questions. And even with those T-ball questions, even with those soft pitch softball, lob pitch softball questions, we still saw ridiculous answers. He was asked about police reform, and Joe Biden decided to chime in and say that police officers should be trained to aim for the leg. Mr. Producer, I sent you over a new version of that cut. Let's go ahead and play the new cut three.
We can do this. You can ban chokeholds. Beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg. There's ways you have to do more background checks in terms of whether or not the person coming in passes a certain psychological test. And the last thing I'll say, and I'm sorry, because it was really, I think, really, really important, is you have to be in a position
where... I don't want
to shoot him in the leg.
He just gave horrible advice. He just gave horrible advice. I don't want to trust him with what his next bit of advice is. So, Joe, why don't you explain for the listeners why it is a horrible idea for police officers to be trained to shoot? Like, you give one reason, I'll give one reason. We'll go back and forth until we run out of reasons. Why is it a bad idea to shoot people in the leg?
Because if you shoot people in the leg, you will not incapacitate them. There's a high degree of chance that you won't incapacitate them. If they're on drugs, heavily on something, they can kill you. They can close that gap very quickly. And frankly, anyone that's ever been in a tense situation, that by itself is you shoot to put down your risk.
Only one reason. We're going to go back and forth. I think we can come up with like 10 of these. So right. You won't incapacitate them. I'm going to do the opposite. You shoot someone in the leg, you hit their femoral artery, they're bleeding out in a minute. What's the next reason? Yeah, you shoot someone in the femoral artery in their leg, and they will bleed out within 1 to 2 minutes.
Okay, police officers are shot.
So it's not even what he's trained to do.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you, police officers are actually taught to fire their gun to incapacitate the perpetrator, right? So
I'm just saying that Joe Biden's stupid because when he says shoot him in the leg, it won't be that bad. You're saying that, yeah, it might not incapacitate him. I'm saying it also might kill him.
Yeah.
By hitting the femoral artery, which is against what Joe Biden's doing. Give me another reason why it's a bad idea to shoot someone to aim for the leg.
There's like so many of them. It's like flooding my mind. Listen,
they're moving targets.
They're moving targets. You're not going to be able to hit the leg. I mean, look, the leg is
moving. Small target.
Yeah, small target. You need a bigger. That's why you're taught to shoot in the mass, right? You're taught to shoot in the body. Right? Not in the head, not in the legs, not in the groin, center mass, right?
So it might not incapacitate them. It might kill them, which is the opposite of what Joe Biden wants.
Yeah.
Might not be able to hit them because it's too small of a target, too fast of a target. As you said, police officers are trained to shoot for center mass. And the biggest problem I have with Joe is saying that police officers are trained to kill. Mm-hmm. That's not what officers are trained to do. They're trained to stop the threat. And there are cases of police officers going up against people on bath salts, people high on whatever, and they have to empty 1-2 magazines into a person before that person actually goes down. So this idea that we should be aiming for the legs as if it's some video game, it's just absurd. So do not listen to Joe Biden. Do not follow that advice. If you are in a home defense, self-defense scenario, you shoot to stop the threat. If by whatever reason you're going up against Bruce Lee and he's karate kicking you, then yeah, shoot his leg. Right. If that's how you stop the threat, then yeah, you shoot the leg. But outside of that crazy scenario that you're going against someone who's like a karate kid, you don't shoot the leg. So don't follow that advice. That advice will get you killed. It just seems so ridiculous. And that's not the first time he said it. That's not the first time we've talked about it. But Joe Biden keeps bringing it up. I want to play this clip, Joe, because last night we got from Joe Biden the closest we've gotten to an admission that he's open to packing the Supreme Court, because he said he is open to packing the court. If Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, he said he is open to packing the court. Let's play cut four.
Well, right now it looks like they're going to have a vote around Halloween. So if they vote on it before the election, you are open to expanding the court?
I'm open to considering what happens from that point on.
So he's open to it. He won't say it, He also, in the town hall, promised that he would tell people one way or another before the election. I guess he wants to get as many mail-in ballots in as possible. But once again, Joe Biden dodged the question and refused to say yes or no whether he supports it. He just said, I'm open to it. It's Joe, do you think there's any possibility that he is refusing to answer because the answer is that he doesn't want to pack the court? Do you think it's possible that he would hide that?
No. He wants to pack the court.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, we can read between the lines. And if it doesn't scare you that he's going to try and take away every right that you have and pack the court and pass on this leftist just rob, loot, steal, create false narratives, create propaganda, make you fear for your life, suppress your voice. This reminds me of Nazi Germany. It really does. I mean, call me what else. You want to say, oh, they're Nazis. No, you're a Nazi. You're not going to redefine what a Nazi is. Antifa, they're fascists, they're Nazis, and they represent everything about the leftist, the left. They are the left. Antifa is the Democratic Party. Congratulations. You get to own it.
Yeah. So I started pulling all the cuts for Joe Biden's town hall, and it just got I don't have the mental health to do this. It just made me too furious to do this. And I'm a sane guy, and it was making me angry. So I refuse to pull the clips. We're just going to go through rapid fire a few of these. Joe Biden claimed that he wanted to put all of the governors in the country in the same room. The same Joe Biden who claims that we shouldn't go in the same room because of social distancing. Very, very strange that he said the first thing he did in office was he was going to go get every governor and put them all in the same room. That seems like it would be a serious national security threat. He claimed that Trump didn't do anything to help the economy, even though Trump signed all the stimulus bills into law, and even though Trump signed an executive order to redirect emergency funds to people who were unemployed. So the claim that he's done nothing is just false. He said he wanted to have oil workers. He wanted to hire them to cap the wells, and that was going to somehow be makeup for the fact that he was going to get rid of fracking, which he still won't admit that's what his position is. But we know it is because he said it previously. This idea that, oh, we're going to help the oil industry by hiring the workers to cap the wells. Once those wells are capped, it's done. Right? That's not a job. That's not a way to put food on your family. That's a gig. One gig. He said that Trump should have kept schools and businesses open after Biden criticized Trump for not closing it down fast enough. I mean, he's all over the place, Joe.
Yep.
He said that Trump claimed that you should inject bleach in your arm, which isn't true at all. Donald Trump never said that, and that lie has just been perpetuated. He said he was going to raise your taxes to pay for green infrastructure, just like Obama with Solyndra. It's so stupid. And he doesn't get called out on this because 70% of the questions were from Democrats.
I feel like people are walking towards the fire in a volcano and falling off into the fire. I feel like that's what they're doing. I literally got a update. Sorry.
So Biden claimed that the United States has 20% of the world's coronavirus deaths. That isn't necessarily true because China, Russia, India are not reporting accurate numbers. If you go into the coronavirus death numbers, all in the WHO, China reports a round number. I think it's like 160 million, and then that's it. They actually report a round number. Any country that reports a round number of testing and it sits that way for weeks on end, it's just not true, right? He claimed that he admitted that his own crime bill was a mistake, but he blamed the states for how they implemented it. He said that solar and wind power would save Pennsylvania. He promised to give every first-time home buyer just $15,000, which, given the fact that last year 2 million people bought a home for the first time, you're talking about a $30 billion a year program out of thin air. No way to pay for it. He's just going to give people free money. And the amazing thing was that he claimed that Amy Coney Barrett did not discuss her judicial philosophy during the hearing. Joe, I know you listened and watched a lot of the hearings. Do you believe what Joe Biden said? Or like me, did you hear Amy Coney Barrett talking about her philosophy?
No, I believe what she talked about on her philosophy. I believe the fact that she had a pad of paper, by the way, that she held up that had nothing on it. Right. There was no notes. There was no I have to recall anything. She literally just from memory told people from what she feels. She told people authentically what she felt. Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's really hard not to like her. It's really hard.
This whole idea that she never discussed her ideology, how she goes about deciding cases, when she went into depth, how she's an originalist, how she's a textualist. They discussed legislative history. right? They went down the list of all the different tools that she uses to decide a case one way or another. And for Biden to go on television and say that she never discussed her judicial philosophy, it's just a lie, right? We did 2 days, three rounds of questioning where the whole time she's being asked to defend her judicial philosophy. And for him to go there and to claim that it never happened, it just isn't true.
I know. So we find ourselves actually having this conversation about what the Democrats believe or don't believe. And we're constantly shaking our head going, oh my gosh, they're just liars. But we never use the word liar. We don't call them liars. They're liars. I mean, so Biden is a liar. Like he lied about Terry Reid. He lied about what he did.
Terry Reid.
He lied about the crime bill, right? And the fact that he supported it. And then he said he didn't support it. Then he did support it. And then, you know, it was his legislation. And then you have the same thing. We talk about another Democrat that's a liar. We just call them liars. They're pedophiles, rapists, closet racists. Now we can add liars to it. Oh, and sociopath. All really good redeeming words, by the way. I think that those really could fit on a plaque really well for him. But we constantly are surprised. But what are we dealing with, Max? I mean, what kind of people are we dealing with on the Democrat side? What are we dealing with? And by the way, what kind of person do you have to be to support Joe Biden? I want you to think about that. If you support Joe Biden, what kind of person does that make you? That make you a liar?
Most people support rapist? Joe Biden. Most people support. No, just because you support Joe Biden does not make you a rapist.
I'm asking the question, Max.
I'm giving you the answer. I'm giving you the answer. You asked the question. I said the answer is no. It doesn't make you a rapist. Doesn't make you a racist for supporting him.
Makes
the majority of the polling shows the polling shows that the majority of people who support Joe Biden do so against Trump. Whereas the other way around, the majority of people who support Trump do it because they support him. Last time it was different. People who supported Hillary, the majority were voting for her because they supported her. And the people who were voting for Trump did it because they didn't like Hillary. It's completely flipped in that regard. I want to play this clip because this shocked me. And I want to preface this. I want to preface this and explain what you're about to see. A woman got up and asked Joe Biden a question and said she has a young child, 8-year-old, who is transgender. And Joe Biden says he supports young children getting to decide whether or not they are transgendered. Let's go ahead and play cut 5.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
This is crazy.
I'm the proud mom of 2 girls, 8 and 10. My youngest daughter is transgender. The Trump administration has attacked the rights of transgender people, banning them from military service, weakening non-discrimination protections, and even removing the word transgender from some government websites. How will you, as president, reverse this dangerous and discriminatory agenda and ensure that the lives and rights of LGBTQ people are protected under U.S. law?
I will flat out just change the law, eliminate those executive orders, number one. You may recall, I'm the guy who said, I was raised by a man who I remember I was being dropped off. My dad was a high school educated, well-read man who was a really decent guy. And I was being dropped off to get an application in the center of our city, Wilmington, Delaware, the corporate capital of the world at the time. And these two men, I'm getting out to get an application to be a lifeguard in the African-American community because there was a big swimming pool complex. And these two men, well-dressed, leaned up and hugged one another and kissed one another. I'm getting out of the car at the light, and I turn to my dad. My dad looked at me and said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It may make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered. They're being murdered. I mean, I think it's up to now 17. Don't hold me to that number, but it's higher now.
Yeah.
And that's just this year. And so I promise you, there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your daughter or daughters, whichever, if one or two.
One,
your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. None. Zero. And by the way, my son Beau passed away, was the attorney general of the state of Delaware. He was the guy who got the first transgender law passed in the state of Delaware. And because of a young man who became a woman who worked for him in the attorney general's office.
We've got one more segment coming up.
Hey, I want to, for a couple things really quick, just so you know, the fact that he's actually prepared for all these questions, they give him the questions beforehand because you just off the top of your head say, I think there are 17 transgender people of color. I know, look at your face. You're like, and what does an 8-year-old know about who they are?
8 years old.
8 years old.
8 years old. The idea that an eight-year-old wakes up.
That mother needs help.
What this is this is, if that takes hold, then there will never be a tomboy again in this country. Right? You know, girls that like to run outside, play in the woods, get dirty. No one ever suggested that they were men.
No.
Right? They're girls. They're tomboys, right? That's what they were called. But you still understood that they were women, and they still understood that they were women. Like, my son isn't 8 years old. My son's almost 3, and he runs around pretending he's a dinosaur most of the day. There are people out there advocating for 3- and 4-year-olds to be able to decide whether or not they are a different gender. This is insane. And he's up there saying that an 8-year-old should be able to permanently – well, he didn't say permanently, but what they're talking about is going down the path to permanent transformation, sex transformation, the idea of going on puberty blockers, which is why they're trying to get people to make these decisions, kids to make these decisions when they're prepubescent, because they want them to take the puberty blocker so that boys don't become men, right? Boys don't become men. Girls don't become women. And that's a permanent thing. Once you block puberty, there's no do-overs there.
It's a feminist move, right? This is a feminist movement of recruiting kids into the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
It's recruiting. I mean, they are literally recruiting kids and creating a new normal. Like normal, you see them attacking the traditional family, the nuclear family. You have BLM come out and say, we are opposed to the nuclear family, right?
Yeah.
And we're literally letting it happen, Max. And we're not doing anything about it. We're not punching them in the face. And I don't mean literally punching them in the face. I mean, holding them responsible for the fact that they're trying to destroy everything we are as a society. They're trying to do that. They're trying to make norm gay and abnorm not gay. I don't care if you're gay, straight, bi. I don't care what you are.
I don't care.
I don't care if Max grows up being a dinosaur.
He can't be a dinosaur.
He might be. He might be a dinosaur.
He thinks he's a T-Rex. He actually calls it T-Rex.
He might be able to take this.
But he's not a T-Rex.
There is a vitamin D supplement that will turn his hands into...
Yeah, Flintstone gummies. Yeah. The Flintstone gummies.
And he will turn into a dinosaur. So that could happen. I mean, I'm just warning you up front that he could actually turn out to be a dinosaur. But you'd be okay with it because he became a dinosaur because...
Yeah, because that's what the left wanted him to do. Yeah. So two things are potentially happening here, and I don't think they have to be independent. I think they can happen simultaneously. You have kids deciding that they know what's best for them, which there's plenty of scientific research that 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds do not have sufficient brain development to be trusted with making life-altering decisions. Like that's well documented. It's the reason that the driving age is 18. It's the reason that the age to drink alcohol is 21. It's right. It's all these ages. That's the voting age. Tons of research that kids cannot be trusted, not because they're inherently bad. Their brains haven't developed to the point of being able to make critical decisions, to look at all different aspects and make a decision for their future. That's why kids aren't emancipated. Like, you can fight to be emancipated, but the parents still make the decision for the kids, which is where the other part comes in. What's it called? It's a Munchausen's by proxy. The idea that the parents think there's something wrong with their kid and they want to make sure the kid's okay. That's what we're seeing with a lot of this, where the kid all of a sudden wants to put on a dress, and then the parent says, oh, he must be transgender. That means, and then they start calling him a different name, calling the boy a girl, and there's no real evidence to support any of it, right? Because the kid put on a dress once, right? It doesn't mean anything. Max Jr. is running around my house lately with a little baby doll because we're trying to teach him that another baby's coming, trying to get him comfortable. Parents could see that and say, oh, he's playing with dolls. That means he's a girl. And all of a sudden, in a couple of years, they're getting put on puberty blockers and they never can ever become a man. And it's not even their call. So I think it's a twofold. It's the kids cannot be trusted. Scientifically, an 8-year-old cannot be trusted to make a decision for themselves. It's just the science is clear on that. Their brain has not developed to that point. But the other side, you have this quasi Munchausen by proxy with the parents thinking there's an illness when it's just a kid playing with a doll. Does people are in the comments section saying that, yeah, they used to be a tomboy. Now they're a girly girl. That doesn't mean anything. And it's almost like they're searching for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
They're creating a new environment. They're creating an environment that doesn't exist, right? Creating it. They're literally making kids saying, look, I'm giving you a badge here. Now you are transgender. What if that kid feels like, hey, look, my mom's telling me I am this. Maybe I am. Like you take things from your parents, right? Mm-hmm. We watched Eric Trump does this. You'll see Donald Trump does this, right? You know, he takes his hands and he does this. And you'll see Eric Trump and you'll see Junior do this. They'll do this with their hands because it's natural that they learn from their parents. Now you have parents that are actually teaching their kids to be gay, right? They're teaching their kids to be transgender. They're teaching their kids to be bisexual. And it doesn't matter if they are or aren't, but let them come to the conclusion of what they are. Accept them where they are. Let them grow and develop and just teach them the fundamentals. But again, I want to come back to it. We took God out of everything that we are, and here's where we're at. We're at this place now where there's no accountability, where the schools are teaching your kids. Parents are told to sit on the sidelines. We'll train your kids. Don't worry. Right? And we're letting it happen.
Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and put up my screen. This was a big case in Texas last year. It was a 7-year-old boy. His mom, the parents were separated. The mom was sure of it, that he was a transgender. The dad was like, no, he doesn't. And if you look through the actual reporting on this, when the kid was with the mom was insisting, you're a girl. You're not a boy, you're a girl. Dressing him up in girl's clothes, treating him like a girl. As soon as he went to his dad's house, he was acting like a boy. So that's why I agree with you that a lot of this is the parent forcing this on the kids, right? Forcing on the kids. There are cases, and I don't want to get too far into this because the more we talk about this, the more likely Facebook's going to come down on us and say, oh, you're transphobic. I'm not afraid of trans people, right? I don't think anyone has ever said they're afraid of trans people. But when you look at this, there are cases of trans parents, right? Trans parents. I don't want to get into the actual biology of how that works. But basically, the parents are men and women, but they think that they believe that they're the other gender. They have a child. And the child is trans. Now, the odds of that happening are slim to none organically, right? The odds of a baby being born to two trans parents and deciding that they are also trans, slim to none, right? Very, very astronomical odds. It really is, in many of these cases, a nurture situation, not a nature situation, which if we're being honest with ourselves, a lot of these cases amount to child abuse. When it comes to actual the implementation of puberty-blocking drugs, of setting them down an irreversible path, having prepubescent children actually talking about sex reassignment surgery. I mean, this is insane.
At a young age.
Yeah, this is insane. Right. And if we were being honest with ourselves, this is child abuse. But we're not allowed to talk about it. We're going to have to do a whole episode on this because there's a lot to talk about. But before we do that, I want to make sure that we do all the reading and pull up all the cases. We can take down my screen now. It's just so crazy, right? It's absolutely insane. So that was Joe Biden's town hall. He's getting the softball questions. He's still flubbing them like, oh, shoot him in the leg. Oh, eight-year-olds can be transgender if they want. I'm open to court packing. I want to play a little bit of Donald Trump's town hall because it was a very different experience. Right out the gate, he got accused of not denouncing white supremacy, which we on the show, we've played
over and over and over again.
22 plus times.
He's
always denounced it. And it got very fiery with Trump basically criticizing her and saying, how can you possibly say this? So let's go ahead and play this. This is cut six, the new cut six.
You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy.
No, you
My
always
question
do this.
To you is,
you've done this to
why
me
does
and everybody.
It seem like
I denounce white supremacy, okay?
You did 2 days later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt. and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, so this is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you
hesitant.
Wait a bit.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, my people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities that are run by Democrats who don't know what they're doing.
While we're denouncing, let me ask
you
about QAnon.
Why? Why not let him finish?
That says pause it. Pause it there. So
why not let him finish? No, let's not let him finish. Let's not let him have a voice.
It's incredible. Where he said, you refuse to denounce white supremacy. And he's like, I denounce white supremacy. Oh, well, you did 2 years later. I've done it for years. This is a stupid question. Next question. And instead of saying, okay, yeah, he denounced white supremacy, she says, well, why does it seem like you're always hesitant to do so?
Let's move on to the QAnon. Like, let's do everything that is a leftist agenda. Let's do that, right? Look, if you're not smart enough to figure out that these people are clowns, right? If you're not smart enough, I can't help you. I can't help you. But the wave is coming.
Yeah. And she jumps to QAnon. It's basically let's throw as much crap at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
QAnon, we've covered on the show. We're not Q supporters. I don't have time to get through all of it. I just don't have time to read into it. I know it started on 4chan. I understand the basic tenets of it. But when you boil it down, it's the idea that there is a deep state that opposes Trump and that there are pedophiles out there in positions of power, and it's bad to let them have power, and that Donald Trump is doing something about it. Now, they describe it as it's a conspiracy theory that there are satanic pedophiles in the deep state and that Donald Trump is the savior of the human race, which might be the extreme version of that. But everything I've read is just like, yeah, there's pedophiles in power and we probably shouldn't let them be in power.
Talk says something really interesting. He goes, but his answer to the QAnon question was super. And he's right.
Yes.
We got to hear it. Can we play it?
And we have that. Yeah. So his answer to the QAnon question, he's basically, I don't know QAnon.
He punched her right in the mouth. It was awesome.
He says like, oh, I know that they're against pedophilia, but I don't know.
Hey,
so
guys,
we have
share
a bit
this.
Of that answer.
How do we have all these people in these different places and not sharing? Guys, hit the share button. What's wrong with you? You afraid?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. You don't have any courage? Hit the share button. Share it with your friends.
Don't accuse our audience of not.
I was poking the bear. Let me poke the bear.
That's almost as bad as when Tig told everyone to leave Facebook when we're broadcasting on Facebook.
Guys, listen. If you can't take a joke, then you need to be on Joe Biden's page. Okay. And if you're here and you can't take a joke and you should be on Joe Biden's page, Max is going to block you anyway.
Yeah.
So.
So we have a bit of his response. Let's go ahead and play cut 7.
I'm a lady, but thanks for
QAnon in its entirety.
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact.
All right, cut it. I wanted to sneak that by our producer Josh to see if he caught that. We're probably gonna get a copy strike, so we
Why?
Have to talk
How
about
do you get
that
a copy
song.
Strike?
That
Let's song, talk about the song.
That song,
Snoop
great
Dogg.
Piece of American media, the mother effing D-O-double-G. Great, I love the song. I love how the artist who created this art inserted that song into the moment where Donald Trump destroyed the moderator. And then you see the glasses come down. I think there's some chains. Other times those memes, they have a blunt sticking out of his mouth. Love it. So I want to make sure this is fair use. We're talking about that piece of art, which nicely appropriates a very fine American single. He's like, I know nothing about QAnon. She's like, well, I just told you. He's like, well, just because you told me doesn't make it true, does it?
Yeah. Ooh.
He's like, whoa.
Oh. Ooh. The burn.
Yeah.
Feel the burn. That's the type of burn she definitely liked to feel.
Yeah. So we also had a very weird experience. There was a woman who came up to give him a question. And it was absolutely incredible that for the first 20 minutes of Donald Trump's town hall, no one in the audience actually got to ask a question. It was just the moderator. She treated this like it was her big moment, her big debate. And it was nothing but hostile questions. we got someone in the audience. She stood up. She said she was a Republican. She said she voted for Clinton last time, and she's leaning Biden. So it's a very weird combination. But this is how she starts off her question to Trump. Let's go ahead and play cut eight.
Good evening, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, you have a great smile.
Got you.
Okay. Thank you. So, he does. You're so handsome when you smile. Okay.
Like, what? Donald Trump's the only person who can go into a town hall and get get hit on by a woman who is apparently a Republican, but also voted for Clinton and is leaning Biden. Very strange. I mean, he might have won her over just from his smile. That was a weird instance. I just wanted to play it because it was so strange. But we all know how it went last night with Trump. He had to fight the moderator. The moderator the whole night was going after him, saying, well, you did this, you did this. And he's like, no, it's not true. And she's like, well, why don't you like masks? And he's like, I'm okay with masks. And we have to talk about this. There was a moment where Trump brought up something that Tucker's talked about on his show, which is a CDC study. I have to make sure I'm very careful in how I report this so we don't get taken down. A CDC study that talked to a select number of people who had tested positive, and it asked them how frequently they wore masks 2 weeks before they tested positive for coronavirus. And what it found was of those people in that sample size, 85% of them who had tested positive for coronavirus said that in the 2 weeks before their diagnosis, they either always wore a mask or very often wore a mask. Now, the reason that conservative media has picked up on that is because that's a glaring problem. Because if you are if you are contracting the disease while always wearing a mask, it suggests that the mask might not be keeping you safe. And very interesting, the CDC basically went after Tucker and said, at no point have we ever said that a mask will protect the person wearing it. And then Tucker plays the Redfield, the head of the CDC, before Congress, saying that a mask will protect him more than a vaccine. So it's just complete nonsense. Donald Trump brought it up last night in passing, and he got cut off before he could actually explain it. And because it came out of his mouth a little bit wrong, where he said that 85% of people wear masks get COVID, which isn't what the study says. And if he had a chance to refine what he said, he probably would have corrected himself. Everyone's jumping all over and saying, oh, Trump lied, Trump lied, Trump lied. They didn't even let him get the sentence out before the moderator was jumping down his throat. So it's very, very disturbing. Trump said that he knew he was going into a fight. Didn't expect that it would be that aggressive. But I guess that's what you get when you host a town hall on NBC. The good news is he was on pretty much every NBC network. He was on Telemundo, so he had mega, mega viewership. And he made Joe Biden look like he was hiding in his basement. But it was very frustrating. And you can talk a little bit about what you saw when you watched it, Joe, about what you saw from the moderator. Because I thought it was despicable.
It was despicable.
How aggressive she was.
Yeah. It wasn't even that. It wasn't even he was debating her. He wasn't.
Yeah.
There was no. It's his town hall. Ask the
it's
question.
Supposed to be a town hall for all the people.
But it's not the people. It's her, and she's asking questions to literally try and hurt Donald Trump to create a mic moment. Right? How are you going to trip up Donald Trump? How are you going to trip up President Trump? Everything he does, I feel like he's 10 steps ahead of these clowns. I just do. Right?
So I don't know about what your favorite moment of the debate was, but mine wasn't even anything that he said. It wasn't anything that the moderator said. It was the woman standing behind him. Let's go ahead and play cut nine.
30 seconds, what would you say to them?
Because they've done a great job. We have the strongest economy in the world. We closed it up. We are coming around the corner. The vaccines are coming out soon. And our economy is strong. We are at a level with jobs like we've never been before. We've rebuilt our military. We've rebuilt our borders. We had no borders. We had no nothing.
So I love that. And we have a GIF. This was the whole time. Let's put up image one. The whole time, the whole show, this is what you saw. Every time Trump made a good point, it's this woman. We didn't know because she was blurry. Yeah. She was out of focus. Nodding the whole time, giving thumbs up when she agreed. Like, it was amazing. To the point where the left was like, oh, get her out of there. Because they know that having her on
the whole
camera
time,
nodding with what he's saying.
Did you see in the comments? People were going, she's a plant. Get her out. Get her out. She can't do that. No, yeah. Get her out of there. Right? Doesn't fit the narrative. That's it.
Yeah.
Just doesn't fit
the narrative. So let's go ahead and put up my screen, Mr. Producer. There were calls to dox her, which is bad, but it came out, and she, I guess, is technically a public figure. Her name is Mayra Jolie.
Yeah.
She's an ex-beauty queen, immigration lawyer, and ran as a pro-Trump congressional candidate in Florida. So let's see if I can find her picture. Take off my screen real quick, Mr. Producer.
That's like doxing.
Find her picture under the mask.
People have tried. I'm like, look, first of all, get a lawyer because you're going to have to spend a lot of money. I don't care what organization you are. And number two, I'm on a show that talks about the fact that I'm a conservative Christian. And I do love Trump. Well, he loves Trump.
So go ahead and put it.
Really? Everyone in the company knows I love Trump.
This is the woman behind the mask. Beautiful.
Ah, beautiful.
Ex-beauty queen. Ran for Congress. Immigration lawyer. Trump supporter. So they were trying to dox her. She's like, I don't care. I'm pretty open with who I am. I thought it was just great. That was my favorite moment from the debate. Her sitting behind Trump, nodding constantly. I thought it was great. So we can take that down off the screen. It was very interesting to me. The search results. I love looking at search results after a debate because it tells what people are looking for. And in this case, I wanted to see if who was searching for the debate because there was a couple of different ways to watch it. I didn't want to – like we have that – we put that up. Go ahead and put it up again on image two. Put up image two one more time. This was as it was happening on YouTube. But there were other ways to watch the debate, right? There were ways – you could watch it on TV. You could watch it on the apps. So this is YouTube, but that's just a snapshot. It's much better to look at image three. This is the search difference. Put up image three. This is people searching for Trump town hall versus Biden town hall. And you can look every, Joe, look at this. Every single state in the country, except for Vermont, saw more people searching for Donald Trump's town hall than looking for Biden town hall. Apparently, Biden's going to win Vermont. No one's doubting it. But in every other state in the union, more people, significantly more people, were searching for how to watch Donald Trump's town hall than they were for Biden's town hall. So I love looking at this because it shows you that even before, even going into, oh, I guess this is in the immediate aftermath, but going up into it, you still had many, many more people searching for Trump. You like looking at data. What does this data tell you?
Data tells me it's going to be a landslide. But, you know, the landslide is in whether or not they cheat. You know, the Christopher Jax, the now former employee of CenturyLink, who was fired for making terroristic threats about people publicly, I think that it's going to create a landslide, but he did say that we were in lie, cheat, and steal. So make no mistake, he actually works for the Democrat Party. He holds position on the Democrat Party, and he actually openly in another deal said, hey, listen, here's all these other, and well, you know, we should do a show on this, by the way, on Christopher Jax. But he openly says we now have a comfortable majority, quote unquote, in the Democrat Party in Colorado. And this is an Antifa leader, right? Just imagine what that means. Antifa leaders are taking on bigger roles in the Democrat Party.
So we have the Trump campaign's response. Let's put on October. Let's put up image. What is this? Image four. This is the Trump campaign response. And I'll read it out for anyone listening to the audio version, which if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the audio version of our podcast. It's growing by tremendous numbers. Trump campaign statement on Trump-Biden town halls. Even though the commission canceled the in-person debate that could have happened tonight, one occurred anyway, and President Trump soundly defeated NBC's Savannah Guthrie in her role as debate opponent and Joe Biden's surrogate. President Trump masterfully handled Guthrie's attacks and interacted warmly and effectively with the voters in the room. Over on ABC, it was a completely different scene, as once again, Biden was kept comfortable and away from any questions that might challenge him. Americans can see that President Trump is leading the country, has built the economy to the best in the world once, and is doing it again, and quite clearly has accomplished more in 47 months than Biden has in 47 years as a failed Washington politician. That was Tim Murtaugh, Trump 2020 communications director. So let's talk about that. In Joe Biden's entire town hall, not one question was given to him surrounding Hunter Biden, or what we've learned over the past couple days about the Biden crime family.
Which, by the way, any of us would have gone to prison already. We'd literally be sitting in jail, no bond, right? There'd be no questions asked, right? We would get Roger stoned if we did what he did. We would.
Yeah.
And both of them did.
Yeah.
Vice President Biden literally did it while he was vice president, and his son sold those services. both of them literally would be sitting in jail. If it was Trump that did
and
it,
and let's go ahead and put up my screen. This is the latest news. The stuff on the hard drive starting to leak out to different news outlets. This is from Media Action Network. Top Burisma executive told Hunter Biden his, quote, ultimate purpose, end quote, was to close down the Ukrainian investigations. So that was relayed to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden set up the appointment between the executive and Joe Biden. And then less than a year later, Joe Biden was over in Ukraine doing exactly what that top Burisma executive wanted, closing down the investigation into Burisma by forcing Ukraine to fire their prosecutor. It doesn't take a whole lot to put these pieces together. It's pretty obvious what was going on. Joe, this is what really gets me, because ABC claimed that they had Trump supporters there. You can't say that you had Trump supporters in the audience and not one of them would have asked Joe Biden about this. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. This is the story of the week, story of the campaign. Yeah,
but this is the
idea that Hunter Biden is...
Our country's been infiltrated. It's been infiltrated. It's been infiltrated by traitors to our country. They are traitors to our country. These people are literally... I'm gonna repeat what Tig told me last night. You know, communists, I don't consider them Americans. And that's what we have. We have a bunch of communist, Marxist a-holes inside of media that have literally infected it. They've infected our technology and they've infected our media. And now, by the way, they're eating their own. Because those people now that are that sit on that side of the communist side, like the Christopher Jacks, want to kill all billionaires. I don't know if you saw that. And Jeff Bezos... I know you're a leftist, but they want you first.
Yeah. No, that's always been their plan. They eat the rich.
Own. Yeah.
They eat the rich. Before we end today, I wanted to make sure that we go through this, because yesterday Joe Biden made a claim that was very easily debunked. He made a claim, this town hall was in Pennsylvania, so he made the claim that Pennsylvania Boilermakers, the union, supports him. He said the Boilermakers union supports him. Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and put up my screen. This is a letter dated September 2nd, 2020 from the Pittsburgh Boilermakers Local 154. And there are others that you can find telling President Trump that they're endorsing him. And this is a letter representing over 2,500 active and retired members in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia of the Boilermakers, forgers, and I guess, and their helpers, shipbuilders, blacksmiths, all of it. So Biden's on there claiming that he has their support. But when Trump supporters started pushing this out, they said, oh, well, he didn't specify local 154. He was talking nationally. So basically now they're saying it's fake news unless you can present evidence that national unions have endorsed Biden, which we know they won't do. Even though their members are pro-Trump, they're still endorsing Biden. But I thought this was really interesting. As Biden's up there saying that the Boilermakers support him, that's a letter from Boilermakers, iron shipbuilders, blacksmiths, and forgers.
You know, we have such good stories that we come up with here. Do you ever notice, Max, that we break something and then everyone else breaks it? So I just sent an email.
Yeah, well, that broke last night.
I just sent an email to a few friends of mine in different news organizations. Says, hey, why don't you share some of these these Hunter Biden stuff with us? We'll definitely leak that stuff. Give it to us, right? Send a pigeon carrier. We don't care. We'll put it out there. I mean, you can. Yeah, I'll give you my home address. Anybody want my home address? No. Josh says, no, Joe, no.
And did they respond to you, or you just...
I haven't yet. I literally just sent it just now.
Okay.
I'm like, come on. Come on, man.
Well, there's tons there. Rudy Giuliani says there's too much for him to release. So, yeah, send it to us, and we'll talk about it.
Hey, look, come on. Bring it to us. Bring it to us.
And there's going to be much more. I don't want the porno video, because OAN says they watched it and they said if it's aired, prepare for projectile vomiting. So I don't want the Hunter Biden crack pipe porno. I don't want that. Can you imagine anything else other than that?
Can you imagine? You know, it could be crack pipe. It could also be a meth pipe. I mean, not that one's better than the other. I mean, somebody tell me in the comments if you have experience with both, I guess, and you could tell me which one would be better or worse. I think both rot your teeth and rot your brain, but... You know, that maybe that's what happened to Biden. Maybe Biden is actually smoking crack. Maybe.
I think technically.
Maybe he does not have dementia.
Methamphetamine is a Schedule II substance. So technically, if you had a meth pipe and you were caught in possession of that, it would not be as serious of a crime as if you had crack, technically. So I guess technically it'd be better for him if it was a meth pipe.
But I'm just trying to find out. I'm just... I'm actually just trying to find out a few things. All right. So if everybody can help me here, by the way, I see that all you people that are watching are not sharing, and I'm pretty upset about that. Maybe that means we have people that are watching on the left that just want to know if I'm going to dox those 13. If I'm going to dox those 13 journalists that we have all the information on that are part of Antifa. And I'm not going to do it yet, but I am going to one by one start putting it out there. I'm having fun, Max. I'm having fun because the reckoning is coming. It's coming. It's coming. And, you know, I was asked yesterday because I get emails all day long, right? So if you send me an email or something and I don't answer, I'm sorry. We get about
you want to put your email out there so more people can email you?
No, please no. No. But if you sign up for the newsletter, you can send it back and all of those emails do flood in, and then you send me some of those.
Link in the description. Yeah, link in the description.
All right, so
sign up for the newsletter.
But Max, I'm pumped about the fact that the reckoning is happening, and there are a lot of people. There's you, there's me, there's everyone else out there that says, because people were afraid to come out and be a Trump supporter. And now I just said, look, we're going to fight fire with fire. We're coming after him.
Yeah.
Right. And I think people saw that Eric Chump gave us a shout out at FEC United, and Tammy Bandemir. I want to talk to you about the Bandemirs in Colorado. Man, they're amazing, courageous family that's fighting against the corruption in the Colorado government, where the Jefferson County government is actually attacking the Bandemirs for holding events. But 5,900 people can go to a football game, but we won't talk about that. But we can't let people.
Well, they just lowered the limit to 5. In Colorado, in Denver, at least.
5 in a household.
5 people.
In a household.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess if you're mother, father, and you have 4 kids, I guess one's going to live in the doghouse.
Yeah, look, and they're going against WHO and they're going against CDC, who said lockdowns are bad.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. Now, when they came out, they first started coming out about it, they said lockdowns are good, right? The CDC says they're good. Now the CDC and the WHO, both organizations that are supposed to be scientific, guys. Listen, they're supposed to be scientific, are coming out. And you know what they're saying? Lockdowns are bad. Don't do it. Do not do the lockdowns. And don't wear a mask. And it says, and I'm not saying don't wear a mask, but it's saying that
Let me rephrase that.
I'm not saying don't wear a mask. I'm saying that that the data in these studies comes back that the people that are wearing masks.
Can't
say that either.
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Can't say any of it.
I am so angry.
Rule of thumb,
right now.
If a thought goes through your head about masks, you're not allowed to say it.
If it's true, don't say it, please. If it's true.
If at any point you have a thought about mask wearing, just don't say it because it will get taken down. And this is where I have to, I'm obligated to say, make sure that you listen to the CDC and the WHO for all of your coronavirus guidance.
Okay. But they can't even be brave themselves. There's no courage. There's no courage there. None, right? We're living in a political world. You're allowed to call them cowards. They're cowards. Biden's a coward.
You're allowed to call them
cowards. Antifa's cowards, right? They're cowards. Cowards, 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 cowards. Sorry, they are.
Yeah.
And they're racist, pedophiles, sociopaths, and closet racists.
We almost did it. We almost got through without it. Although you said it earlier.
Maybe. I said maybe. They might be. They might. But if they don't, they actually vote for it. They're complicit in the behavior, right?
So
I'm just trying to figure out if they're just trying to destroy the black community. Or if some of them actually do care, they just aren't smart enough to figure out that Antifa and the Democrats don't stand for minority communities. I'm just wondering. Actually, anybody's got the answer to that question, you can put it down below. They answer that question for me because I'm not that bright. So I went to a state school, books were lighter. They had less information in them.
So usually I give you the final word, but this time I want to do the final word. Very interesting thing with polling.
Can I say something then?
Polling. No, you just did your bit.
That wasn't really my bit. You can't.
You can't
let me crack jokes and say it's my last word. Come on, Max.
Yeah, it's your last word. Fine. Maybe you'll get a little bit after this.
All right.
Maybe a little bit. So the polling is very interesting. The polling is suggesting that when they talk to people who are going to vote early, that Biden has a 15-point lead. So they're basically saying that 55% of people who say they're going to vote early are going to do it for Biden, and they say for Trump it's down around 40. But the actual return ballot numbers are suggesting that Republicans are either tied or ahead in the number of ballots that they're returning. So there's a disconnect between what people are telling the pollsters about how they plan to vote early and how the ballots are actually being submitted. So in the past couple episodes, what we've been talking about is make sure you share these podcasts with your friends.
Rapture.
This is my homework for you.
Rapture.
If you know someone who is voting for Biden and you know someone, Joe, come on, stop it. If you know someone's voting for Biden and you know that they plan to vote early, Ask them whether they have voted yet. And if they say they haven't, tell them not to do it yet. Because once that ballot is submitted, they cannot take it back. And as more of these bombshells keep leaking, the last thing I want is for anyone to vote for Joe Biden and immediately regret it. So go to your friends, go to your family members who say they're voting for Biden and tell them, fine, if you're going to vote for him, do it. But do it at the end. Don't do it now because you can't take the vote back. And there's going to be a lot more that we learn between now and Election Day. And you're going to want to hear it before you cast your ballot. Okay, Joe, you get a couple final words.
I was trying to give something for Junior to actually say.
No, you're interrupting me. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm going to take these final word moments to say that no, Max and I aren't brothers, at least blood brothers, but I love giving him a hard time. He loves giving me a hard time. And I do appreciate our listeners. And the thing that makes us grow is for you to listen, right? And we're obviously on all the other things that Max is going to talk about. But we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep doing the things that we're doing. Oh, and Josh. Sorry. And Josh. Forgot about Josh. Sorry, Josh. It's because you part-time. You always show up and then you don't show up. But we're going to keep fighting, right? And we're going to keep pushing and doing the things that we do and just, you know, breaking down truth with you. We're never going to lie to you. Now, you may not agree with our opinion, and that's okay. We accept you where you are. Maybe not where we want you to be, but all we ask you to do is have some courage. That's it. Oh, is that
courage? Mentioned? Absolutely. Apparently, Max Jr. is coming in, so he's going to read.
Read the final.
Final word.
Final word.
Hey, MJ!
He doesn't want it. All right, take him away.
Okay.
Come on. Thank you. That was really great.
We need MJ when he's not crying.
I really loved having my baby cry at the thought of me holding him. So that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Remember that we go live Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook and YouTube. Links in the description to make sure you go there. Subscribe and follow us on Facebook. Subscribe and hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. We're also, we have the audio version of the podcast. A lot of growth happening there. In the first 15 days of October, we've now had more audio downloads than we had in the entire month of August. So incredible, incredible growth. Make sure you go over there. If you have an iPhone or a MacBook, make sure you go to the Apple Podcast link in the description. Leave us a good review. Very, very helpful. But we're also available on Google Play, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn, and Podbean. So make sure you subscribe to the audio version. A great way to listen to the show if you can't show up for the in-person live broadcast. We also have a link for merch if you want to help support the channel on Parler at Conservative Daily. Follow us. Be happy to follow you back. And yes, we do have a link for you to subscribe to our newsletter. If we get taken out by Facebook or YouTube, that's how we're going to organize the show and keep it going. So again, my name is Max McGuire.
This is Joe Otto and Josh.
And remember that the fight to take back our country clearly isn't over, but the only way we win is if we all stand and fight together.